But you know what? As I was praying, I really believe that God was speaking to me. And I feel like he wanted you to know that he knows what you're going through. That he knows that there's stuff that you guys are dealing. There's stuff that we are going through. There are circumstances that we are in. And I believe that God wants to speak to us about that. So go and turn to Romans. Go and turn to Romans in the 7th chapter. Here Paul is writing a letter. And as he's writing it, it's almost like you can just feel his frustration. As he's writing it, it's almost like you could just feel his failures. He writes in the 7th chapter, in the 15th verse. He says, I don't really understand myself. For what I want to do, what is right, but I don't do it. Anybody? Can anybody? Come on now. He's saying, I don't really get it. What I want to do, I know what I want to do. I want to do what is right, but yet I don't. And then he goes on to say, instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law is good. So I am not the one doing what is wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not the one really doing it. It is a sin living in me that does it. He's saying, I keep trying to change. There's some things that I'm dealing with, and I keep trying to go with God where God wants me to go, but I keep messing up, and I keep failing, and I keep starting back at square one. And I feel like God is saying, we need to talk about this tonight. You know, a couple years ago, I was in the Amazon. I was on this island. I was in Peru. And we decided we wanted to go to a couple islands down the Amazon River. This river is massive, you guys. It's huge. And so a local friend of ours, he took us down to the dock. And there stood before us this sad little boat, y'all. It was the saddest thing I ever seen. I said, no, Jesus, I'm not going down like that. I'm not getting in that thing. No, Lord, take me away now. And he convinced us to get in the boat. So we get in the boat. We sit down, and we're going down the Amazon River. And as we're all just sitting there, you know, he's telling us about, you know, everything that lives in the Amazon, everything. And then he says with that creepy, scary voice, but you better watch out for the anacondas. I said, what? You didn't tell me about this before I got in the boat. Hold that one. You guys seen those anacondas? You ever seen the movie Anaconda? Okay, those things are big. Okay, those things are massive. They're big. He said, you can't escape them. They will come into the water and they will snatch you. I said, snatch? They said, snatch. I said, what? Snatchers. He said, beware of the anacondas. So we're out in the Amazon. We're going from island to island. We're having fun. We're having a blast. And we were supposed to leave at a certain time, but we were just having too much fun. And so we left late. By the time we got in the boat, it was pitch black, y'all. There was no light. There was no electricity out there. The only thing that was out was the moonlight. And so we're going down. And, of course, what's in the back of my head? The anacondas. And so as we're going down, I don't know if he was trying to mess with us. I don't know if he was sent from the devil. But he said, you know why no one's out here tonight? You know why no one comes out at night? Because the anacondas. I said, oh my God, Lord. Ah! He said, the anacondas come out. That's why there's not one single boat out here but us. And we looked around. He's right. And so we're sitting there in silence, and everyone is just overcome with fear. And as we're sitting there in silence waiting, a friend of mine, he says, hey, you guys, I'd hate to be the one to tell you this, but last night I was reading up on anacondas. And I read all these stories, and I have to tell you what they do. And we said, you ain't got to tell us. You just shut up. No. And he sits there for a moment of silence, and he says, so anyways, and he begins to tell us story after story after story of these anacondas that came in and took this person and took that animal and this and that. And now we are just like, ah, barely holding on. But what was interesting is that in every single story, the anaconda did the same exact thing. You see, the way that the anacondas in the Amazon attack their prey is different from other snakes. I live around rattlesnakes. You know, they come up all loud and crazy. Then they bite you and they stick their venom in you. That's not the way an anaconda does it. You see, what it does is that it will slither up unannounced to you. And without you knowing it, it begins to wrap itself around your body. And it doesn't bite you. That's not the way it does it. You see, what the anaconda does, it wraps itself around your body and it begins to squeeze you tight. And as you begin to gasp for air, it pulls tighter. And it pulls tighter and tighter. The locals say it steals the breath within you. And I can remember there was times in my life, there was temptations, there was sin that I opened the door to, there was pride, there was things in my life that I tried to get away from, but then they would come back and I would feel like it's wrapping itself around me. And I felt like I was gasping for air. You see, some of you in this place, there are temptations in your life. Some of you in this place, there are things that you're going through. There is some fears in your life and you feel like they have gripped you and they've wrapped itself around you. There are some addictions in your life. You try to get away from it. Yeah, I know it's been years since you've done it. I know it's been years since you've been with those people and you partook in part of those things, but yet you still feel like it's wrapping itself around you and you're gasping for air. You see, some of you in this place, there's insecurities. You try to get away from them. There's words that people have spoken to you. And you try to forget them, but you can't because they keep on coming back. There's relationships that you've been through. And you say, it didn't affect me, I'm okay now. But yet, it keeps coming back. And it's wrapping itself around you. There's some of you, there's pornography you're dealing with. There's addictions. There's fear. There's failure. There's anger. Beth, I have so much anger. I can't stop punching the wall. I can't control myself. And you feel like it's wrapped yourself around you and you're gasping for air and you're saying, isn't there anything I can do? Isn't there, I've asked God to help me, but I feel like I'm just stuck. I feel like there's nothing I can do. Some of you, you've been waiting for God. You've been waiting for God. I thought he would heal me by now. I thought he would answer that question by now. I thought he would bring me my husband or my wife by now, but I guess he's just not going to do it. And this doubt in God has wrapped itself around you. And the question is where do we go from there? What do we do from here? We just read Paul's frustrations. He's right there with us, but he doesn't stop writing. In the 7th chapter, he continues in verse 21. He says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is in war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank you, God. The answer, he says. He says, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Then he goes on in the 8th chapter. He says, so now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. He says, I know it's hard. I know there's some things we're going through. I know there's some doubts in our mind. I know there's some frustrations with God. I know there's some things going on the inside of us. There's some trials we're walking through. But he says, but you can still get through it. Why? Because of Jesus. So let me explain it like this. Because I like what he said. He said, I feel like there's this war on the inside of me. I feel like something's pulling me to do what is wrong, but then I also feel like something is pulling me to do what is right. So what is it? Well, I think in order for us to understand this, we need to understand the way that God created us. If we don't understand the way that God created us, then we are going to miss out on some stuff. You see, we understand the Trinity, that God is three in one. He is three separate individuals, but he is yet in one. He is the Father God, he is Jesus the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. And we were created in the likeness of God, and so we are one individual, but we are made of three separate parts. We are spirit, soul, and body. You see, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So everyone say that with me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And so he begins to describe that there is this war between the soul and the flesh. You see, when I see body, I'm not talking about your actual fingers and your hands and all that. That's the human body. What I'm talking about is the flesh, those fleshly desires. I made a little graphic right here just so that we can understand that. We're going to do a little bit of teaching tonight, if that's okay. Go ahead and go to the next one, the next graphic. You see, what we have to understand is that we are a soul. I mean, we are a spirit. And we were created this way from the beginning of time. The day you entered into this world, you were spirit, soul, and body. The thing is that your spirit was dead until Jesus became your Lord and Savior. And it says in Ephesians that he breathed life into you, and your spirit was now renewed. God renewed you. You now have life. And if we look at this, we see the spirit. And throughout the Bible, it can be translated as the heart. It can be translated as the inner man. You see, the Bible describes the spirit as there is a spirit man on the inside of you, and it needs to be strong. Strengthen the spirit within you. So you are a spirit. But then you also have a soul. This would be described as your mind and your emotions. Who has a lot of emotions? Oh, my, I have too much. I have too many. Dear Jesus, take them, Lord. Then it goes on to say, we have a body. Like I said, we're not talking about the human body. We are talking about the fleshly desires. This is the thing. The flesh is the thing that desires to go against God. It always desires to go against God. In Romans, it continues and it says that the flesh will never please God. It never can and it never will, because it's always desiring to go against God. And then the spirit, that is the thing that desires to do the things of God. That is the thing on the inside of you. You know when the spirit is talking to you. You know when the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. We talked about that last week. Who was here last week? When Pastor Joe talked about the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. That Holy Spirit will connect with your spirit. And so we see that the body and the spirit, they are always at constant war. Does anyone ever feel that? A decision comes, a temptation comes, something comes in your life, you know, like, I feel like I'm being pulled this way, but I know I need to be pulled this way. There's times when I just want to say something stupid to somebody, and something's like, you better shut up. The other thing's like, you better say it, it's going to be funny. The other thing's like, you better shut up, you're going to get fired. Right? It's at war. And he talks about this. He talks about this all throughout Romans. But let me explain it like this. Let me break it down like this for you. So let's take a plant, a tree, for instance. A tree has a body, right? A tree has a body. It is physically there. But a tree, it cannot make decisions. A tree, it cannot contemplate life, right? And then you take an animal. You see, an animal has a body. It's physically there. It can grow. It can die, it can live. But an animal also has a soul. An animal can fight with other animals. It can make decisions, right? But you know what the animals don't have? They don't have a spirit. Now, I know Disney movies, they jacked us up, y'all. He messed us up. I know Disney movies, they say, you know, that spirit is within that animal. And that spirit, blah, blah, blah. There is no spirit in your dog. There is no spirit of your grandmother living in your living room watching over you. That is not the truth. You see, we often confuse the soul and the spirit. You will not find your dog sitting on a sunset on the beach saying, why was I created? Why? Because they don't have a spirit. You see, God reserved the spirit for something else. God reserved the spirit for the only thing in creation that could have it, and that was you and me. No other creation has it. We are a spirit. We are separated from all other creations. Why? Because we have a spirit, the Spirit of God can connect with us. The Spirit of God can move in us. Because we have a spirit, we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. We have identity. We can have an identity. Because we have a spirit, we are self-aware. Because we are a spirit, we know the difference between right and wrong. Because we are a spirit, we know morals. Because we are a spirit, can I tell you, you have purpose. Because you are a spirit, you have eternal life. Everything else in creation doesn't have that. We are so set apart. But you know what the problem with that is? Is that the world is trying to teach us that we don't have a spirit. Oh, they're not using those words because Christians would catch on far too quickly. But the devil's too cunning to use those words. You see, the world is trying to teach us and trying to take away the spirit from us because they're saying, go ahead and live however you want to live. The world, media, the government, pop culture, whatever you want to call it, is trying to convince us, live however your fleshly desires want. If you want something, you go and get it. It doesn't matter who you have to oppress to get it. If you have lust desires, if you have sexual desires, you go and you live it out however you want to live it out. If you want to steal, you steal. Hey, why don't you just go ahead and decide what is right and wrong as long as it doesn't affect me? There are no morals. When you take away the spirit, when we let the world keep telling us you can live however you want to live, if you got feelings, follow those feelings, go on ahead. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. You see, the world is trying to convince us. The world is trying to teach us that we are not made of three, but rather we are made of two, the flesh and the soul, so that all of our decisions will be based off of how we feel. But God did not design us like that. Do you know why the world is doing that? Because if you take away the spirit, they can justify every single thing they do. It can be justified. But the problem with that is it's not true. You see, your actions do matter, and we will have to answer for them. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, in the fifth chapter of the 10th verse, it says, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. He makes it clear. Your actions do matter. You do have a spirit. And when the world takes away the spirit from us, you know what they also take? Our purpose. Do you know what the world is trying to tell you? Do you know what that music that you're listening to is trying to tell you? Do you understand the conversations that you're having with other people is trying to tell you? They are trying to tell you that you are no better and you are no greater than your dog. Because your dog doesn't have a spirit. Your dog lives by its fleshly desires, right? Any animal will live by its fleshly desires. If they're hungry, they eat. If they want something, they go and get it. There is no conviction. There is no conscience. There is nothing like that. And the world is trying to tell you, guess what? You're no better than your dog and you don't have a purpose. If you take away the spirit, if you take away that thing on the inside of you that desires to do good and knows morals and knows right and wrong, if you take that away, you have no purpose. If you take that away, you have no eternal life. Because when you and me, we die, our bodies will be here, but our spirit and our soul, they'll be gone. And the world is trying to tell you, you're no better than some animal. But that's not who we are. We do not have to live subject to our flesh. I know some of the temptations you're going through. I know some of the struggles you're saying, but I thought things were going to be different. I thought if I stopped doing this, and I know it's hard. But here's the deal. You do not have to be subject to your flesh. You do not have to be subject to your past addictions. You do not have to be subject to what's happening in the physical, because you have a spirit on the inside of you. So let me give you the title of tonight's message. And I'd hate for anyone to get offended, but the reason I titled it this is because later, in a week, in a couple weeks, in a month, when something is going on the inside of you, when you begin to, that doubt in God begins to seep back into you, when that sickness, when the doctor gives you that note and tells you, hey, you still have this, and then something begins to come back, I want you to remember the title of this message. I am not an animal. I am not an animal. You have a spirit. You can discern right and wrong. When something comes your way, when a situation comes, whether small or big, you don't have to give in to sin. You don't have to give in to whatever your flesh is desiring. You don't have to give in to whatever the devil is trying to convince you to do. Why? Because you have a spirit. Go and turn back to Romans in the 8th chapter. Romans 8:11, powerful verse. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Can I tell you that Jesus went to the cross, and then Jesus, he died on that cross and he was put in a tomb. He was done. He was dead. There was nothing in there. And it says that, but there was a Spirit who was able to overcome death and able to overcome sickness and able to defeat the enemy. And that same spirit lives on the inside of us. And we're scared of our temptations. And we're scared about situations going on in our life. And we're scared about the doctors. But the spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of us. And it says, and he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same spirit living within you. You see, when depression tries to seep back in, when that anger tries to wrap itself around you, when those thoughts, you're saying, I deal with thoughts of homosexuality, I feel like the church doesn't understand. When that begins to try to tear you apart, guess what? There is a spirit on the inside of you. But the thing is that we see the flesh and we see the spirit, and they're at constant war. So then who wins? How does one win? You see, the reality is that whatever is stronger will win. If you are constantly giving into your flesh, if you are constantly feeding into your sins, if you are constantly giving up without a fight, guess what? Your flesh gets stronger. But can I tell you, if you constantly are feeding your spirit, if you are strengthening that spirit within you, then that will be stronger. Whatever you feed grows. Whatever you feed. That means, are you listening to music that is feeding your flesh? Are you watching movies that are teaching you opposite of what Jesus is trying to teach us? Are you indulging in conversations or going on websites that are opposite to the Spirit, and it is stealing your faith? So here we understand that the Spirit dwells within us, the Holy Spirit, and we are made up of the Spirit, body, and soul. But then there's the question of, okay, so the Spirit, if it's strong, then I'll overtake the flesh, right? But the question is how do you get the Spirit strong? The question is what do you do to do that? I love illustrations. I get bored really easy, so I gotta keep myself awake. So here, we have us, right? You guys remember when you gave your life to Jesus Christ? Here's your spirit, here is you. Everything was all good. Thank you, Lord. Then something happened. Life happened. You see, there's been things that have happened to you in your life. There's been situations that have encountered you. You see, maybe you opened the door to sin. Maybe it wasn't anything that was done to you, but maybe you just opened the door to sin. You began to let it into your life. Or maybe not by your choice, but maybe something happened to you that wasn't fair and God didn't intend it, but it did something to you. And you begin to change on the inside. Or maybe words were spoken to you. Said, you know, I wish you were never born. Maybe you've been told the words, you're so worthless. You don't belong here. I wish you would just go. Or maybe even worse words. And it began to change you. Maybe a relationship crushed you. They took you and they crushed you. And they stole your dreams and they stole your heart. And you're saying, okay, now what do I do? So here we are. And the question is, what do you do from here? What do I do? Do I just pour it out? I wish I could. I wish I could just pour out every wrong thing that was done to me. I wish I could just forget all the words that people have spoken to me that broke me. I wish I could forget all the sin that I was entangled in. I wish I could forget those things, but I can't forget them, and you can't forget them either. They're still there. If I were to pour it out and act like it just didn't happen, that would do nobody good. So the question is, where do we go from here? How do we get through it? How do we change? You see, there is only one way. And it's not always the best way to some people. You see, I have people come into my office time and time again. They begin to tell me what they're going through. They say, Beth, I'm in so much depression. Beth, I cannot believe what is happening in my life. Beth, you have to help me. And they say, what do I have to do from here? And they get frustrated when I tell them. You know why? Because they just want the magic fairy dust that everything's just going to be okay. But I tell them the same thing, every person. I said, it's only through God. I said, it is through the word of God. It is through praise. It is through worship. It is through coming to church. And can I tell you, that is the truth. Because the only way to get this out of you, the only way to change, the only way to take the darkness that other people have put in you, the wrong things that have happened to you, there is only one way. It is to flush it out. You see, when you begin to take the word of God and you begin to learn, wait a second, are you telling me? Are you telling me I can forgive people? Are you telling me that if I forgive someone, it doesn't mean what they did was right? Rather, if I forgive someone, it means I'm not going to let you determine my future anymore. Wait a second. Are you telling me that even though I feel depressed, I can pray for joy and that God would overflow me with joy? You begin to read the word of God. You begin to worship when you don't feel like worshiping. You begin to lift up Jesus and all of a sudden, hold on a second. Wait a second. I'm beginning to feel a little bit better. You begin to pray. What did the doctor tell me? Oh, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I thank you that I'm healed from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. And you begin to flush out those things that have happened to you with what? The Spirit of the living God, with the power of the Word, with the faith of Jesus Christ. And He will renew you, and He will cleanse you, and He will set you free. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But why would you keep living any other way? No one's making you do it. Why would you keep carrying around that filth, that darkness, that shame, that depression, that anger? Why would we keep carrying that around? You see, Jesus is saying, I can set you free. I can make you victorious. I don't see any victims in this room. We are not victims. We are overcomers. Why? Because of the Spirit that lives within us. So how do we do it? Number one, how do we strengthen the Spirit within us? How do we strengthen the Spirit that we are? Number one, by the Word of God. By the Word of God. It's that simple, you guys. It's that easy, but why is it so hard to open the Bible at home? Why, Lord? If it would just open itself, I'd probably get a little bit better at it. Just send the wind. It's the Word of God. Can I tell you that if you don't know that Jesus can heal you, then you can't believe for it? If you're not reading the Word of God and you don't see that you can be financially blessed, you don't gotta live in the ghetto no more. Thank you, Jesus. But if you don't know that, how can you pray for it? If you don't know that God has forgiven you of all of your sins, you're gonna be walking around broken, busted, and disgusted for years, feeling guilty for the things you've done. And God's like, dude, I already forgave you. Let's move past it. I got other things to talk to you about. If we aren't reading the Word of God, it's so simple. Then guess what? Your spirit man, the spirit that is you, will be so weak, the flesh will easily overtake it. We all say we want that life of joy. We all say, I just wish God would answer my prayers. We all say, I just wish things would be different. Well, this is it. This is how we do it. He's given us all the answers. We just got to put our work in. See, we got to read the Word of God. Number two, prayer. We got to pray. You got to begin to pray to God. You see, your spirit, and the Spirit of God, when you pray, you're in constant communication with God. And when you do that, God is building you up. God is strengthening you. You see, when you read the Word of God, you begin to discover, wait a second, I have authority? Jesus says that I can have authority over my life? So when you start to deal with anxiety, it starts to overcome you. You say, oh no, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the peace of God. You begin to pray over your self-healing. You begin to pray peace and protection over your household. You see, God has called us to pray. And if we're not praying, and if we're not building our spirit, you guys, the flesh will easily overwhelm us and overtake us. God is calling us to pray. Number three, worship. I love me some worship. Don't even get me started. You see, when you begin to worship, you know what happens? For the first time in like a week, I start to like get my eyes off of myself. And my eyes start to get on Jesus. And suddenly my world isn't so bad. And suddenly everything just begins, you know what, God? Thank you. And I began to worship Jesus. When you begin to worship Jesus, you are filled with joy. Oh, the spirit on the inside of you, that spirit of who you are, it is strengthened. Haven't you ever come to church and you're like, I don't want to be here for real. And then you come into worship and you're like, wait a second, I love these people. They're the best people. All of a sudden, I know, some of y'all are nicer after worship. I'm just going to tell you. Because why? Because when you lift up praises to God, when you thank Jesus, when you begin to sing songs about Him, your spirit enjoys that. Your spirit indulges in that. Your spirit connects with that. Deep calls into deep. Your spirit calls into God's spirit. You guys, we are so different from every other creation. The other day I walked in on my dog worshiping. I'm just kidding. Dogs don't worship, okay? We are so different. Some of y'all are like, hold on a second. I saw some people grab their purses about to walk up. Dogs don't worship. We were given that gift. That's a gift. That our spirit could connect with God's spirit like that. And when you do it, there is power. Something happens on the inside of you. And the last one, fellowship with other believers. See, when you come into a place where you can fellowship with other believers, when you come into the house of God, oh man, you are encouraged. You discover more about yourself that you didn't know. You feel set free. That's the house of God. That's other believers. When you begin to talk to other Christians and you start telling them what you're going through and they begin to encourage you, they begin to tell you, you can do this. Don't give up. You're going to get through it. We got to fellowship with other believers. You think we tell you to keep coming back every week just because like we want to fill up the seats? No. We tell you because we know that that world out there is dark. It is negative. There is nothing good out there. And we know that some of you go through so much every single week. And we know that if you could come into this place and if we could serve you in a way that would uplift you and if we could love you and encourage you, then guess what? You're ready for next week. That's why we want you to come back every single week. So this is what we're going to do. I know that God spoke to me and he said, man, there are some things going on in people's lives. There are some diagnosis that went out. There's some issues that are going on. There are some insecurities that are being revealed. There are some things that are happening. And God's saying, tonight, we're going to realize we're victorious. Tonight, we're not going to play the victim. I want the whole band to come up. The whole band can come up real quick. You see, tonight, we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. We're not going to question God's faithfulness. We're not going to sit in our doubt. We're not going to sit in our guilt. Tonight, we are going to worship God. Tonight, we are going to declare that we are victorious. Tonight, we are going to sing about a God who overcame death, who rose from the grave, and we are going to lift up his name. Why? Because when you do that, when you lift up Jesus, and you say, I don't care what's happening in my life right now. I don't care what people are telling me. I don't care if I don't have a job. I don't care if I'm struggling to find a place to live. I don't care what is going on. I know that my God is bigger, and I know that God has created me on purpose, for purpose. Because here's the thing. Is I know God wants to renew some people tonight. I know God wants just to say, keep going. I kept hearing that in my spirit. Keep going. I know you want to give up, but keep going. I know you want to stop praying, but keep praying. I know that you just want to just leave God behind, but God is saying, no, I'm right here. I'm right here for you. Keep on going. So I want everyone to stand up in this place. And we're going to sing a song. It says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. And in this place, I know the situations you're going through. I want you to overcome it. That fear that has been gripping you. Those thoughts of the past that have been coming back to remind you of how terrible you used to be. Those addictions that seem to be knocking on your door saying, don't you want to come back though? Wasn't it so fun? Didn't we have a good time? Those addictions that are knocking on the door of your heart. Tonight, we're going to close every door to them. Tonight, I believe God wants to pray for healing. Tonight, I believe that God wants to restore some people, and we need to get excited, and we need to know that we are truly victorious because there is a spirit on the inside of us. So we're going to sing a song, and you can stay in your seats or you can fill this altar, whatever you want to do. This is your time with your Jesus. He's not just my Jesus. He's not just the pastor's Jesus. He is a personal God to you, and this is your time to spend time with him. This is your time to cry out to him. him and to declare that you are going to overcome whatever is before you. You are not going to just give up, but you're going to come out on the other side. So let's sing that song. Shout unto God. Let's sing it with the voice of triumph. I want you to get your hands up if you want to declare it tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it.
Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. Gonna make your praises loud. Cause the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
Thank you, Jesus. I believe God wants to declare some things right now. He wants to declare that right now depression has no hold on you. Oh, God wants to do something right now. You better get your hands up. God wants to declare that financial poverty has no hold on you. God wants to declare that anger has no hold on you. Oh, tonight, God wants to declare the desire to be lusted after has no hold on you. God wants to declare tonight that you are set free, that addictions have no hold on you, that pornography has no hold on you, that drugs have no hold on you, that homosexuality has no hold on you, that insecurity has no hold on you, depression, leave in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. God wants to heal somebody tonight. If you need healing, put your hands up. If you need healing, God wants to heal. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for every soul, Lord God. I thank you, everybody in this place, in Jesus' name, that you would heal them, Father. God, we thank you that you died on the cross and you took our sins, God, and you took our sickness, Lord, and we can walk in your healing. So right now, we declare healing, cancer, leave in Jesus' name. MS, leave in Jesus' name. Brain diagnosis, leave in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. You heal every limb. You heal everything, God, that you need to do today. We walk in your healing. We walk by faith and not by sight, Father. I thank you, Jesus, that we are victorious in this place, God. We are not victims, God, but God, we are overcomers.
Gonna make your praises loud, cause the enemy has been defeated and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud, cause the enemy has been defeated and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises.
praises, Lord. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph.
Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
Tonight, you have never given Jesus all of your heart, all of your life.